This hour of the Jason Rant Show is brought to you by MMComfortSystems.com. Lots of news happening all around the world and right here at home. So let's find out what's trending.
What's trending? The coronavirus.
Schools all across the country have been reverting to the remote learning situation and or just being closed. Kind of depends on where it is you live. Now, Washington State is no exception. Western Washington, where the vast majority of you who are listening, no exception. Turns out Eastern Washington, where a lot of you are listening on the stream, but also on the podcast, not an exception. We have three schools in Lake Washington School District that transitioned to remote learning this week. Lake Washington, Redmond, Juanita High Schools moved on Monday to remote classes. Out in Seattle, Franklin and Lowell are remote. The Edmonds School District is one of the districts basically saying, hey, we're very, very close to going to remote learning. Everyone be on alert. Yes, I understand that we've already likely hit peak infection here in Washington, and if not already, probably within the next few days, and it's going to start to go down rather dramatically, rather quickly. But we want you on alert because we like the anxiety it causes all of you parents having to wonder whether or not you're going to have to babysit your brat kid instead of having us do it. And so those of you who are parents and you've got some kids at a school that is currently open, you're kind of on edge. You want to know what's going on. You're like Gita, a mother talking to Como TV saying, hey, are we going to close or what?
If it does happen, I think we have to do the best we can to make that time at home with our kids count as much as we possibly can.
Oh, thank you so much. You must have one of those calendars with the advice a day that's supposed to motivate you. That is the most useless clip ever. Shame on you for pulling that.
That's my fault?
That yes.
She has the most useless clip ever?
You didn't have to pull it. You could have just said, mother says some rote statement that everyone says all the time. We got to do the best that we can. Make the best. Make, you got lemons? Make some lemonade.
Whenever I don't pull something, you say, oh, really? There's no audio there? Go find some.
And well, then, that, yeah, that part's true.
So there's no winning with you.
I like the idea of her having to tell people, you need to make the best out of a bad situation. Yeah, thank you. That's very helpful. And you know what? That's particularly helpful to the mothers out there and fathers out there and caregivers out there who actually have to go to work because they've got bills to pay. They find themselves in pretty tough situations. Like Heather. She's a mother of three. She doesn't want to have to go back into the remote learning situation. She wants Edmonds Public Schools, where her three kids go, to stay open because she's got a job and stuff.
So it's not a choice. It's, do I keep my kid home or not pay rent this month?
What would you like her to do? What would you like her to do? Because as we're having these conversations and the schools are doing this, I don't really hear anything from them. I hear the warnings now, but what about the sympathy, at least? Just put it out. We know you don't mean it, but just put it out. Some of them do, to be fair. But understand, when we go back to remote learning for these kids, there is trauma associated with it. Emotional trauma. We know that children are the least impacted by COVID of any demographic, unless they happen to be living with a severely immunocompromised system. But the vast majority do fine with COVID, whether they get it or not.
I think they should just pay more attention to what's going on with kids' mental health during this time and really listen. That's the biggest thing, because none of us have been through this. We're just trying to get through together.
They're just trying to get through this together. That's all. They're trying to get through this together. Now, Harmony Weinberg is the Edmonds School District spokesperson. She says they need to prepare for anything.
It's a challenge. It's a challenge, but we need to be ready for the possibility that a classroom or a school may have to shift to remote learning.
And of course, they're all victims in this. They've got obstacles to overcome.
We are dealing with more positive cases of COVID-19. Uh-huh. We are dealing with staff shortages, hitting hard our bus routes.
That's actually kind of interesting, what she just said there. How many teachers and bus drivers did you fire again? Could you remind me of that? How many of the unvaccinated staff members did you end up letting go? Whether teachers or bus drivers or janitors, whatever. How many is that? And not just Edmonds, of course. And by the way, this was a mandate coming from the governor, not to say that the school districts wouldn't have done this on their own. I love all this because Seattle Public Schools, same thing. They're dealing with the same issues. And because they are filled with activists, they had all the messaging that you would expect to come out of them. Seattle Public Schools one day said, "We just fired the unvaccinated staff because we wanted to protect everyone from COVID. We wanted to stop the spread of COVID. We now have a fully vaccinated staff. Yay! Even the kids are excited. Except now they're all like, we're going remote. We are cutting bus routes because our fully vaccinated staff is out with COVID. And this is their parents now booing me. The mothers. Okay. I didn't make the.
Are you surprised to be being booed by mothers?
Stop. We done? Thank you. It's petering. Still? Okay. So I'm just saying. Oh, my God. Why are you booing me? I was of the position that we shouldn't be firing these people. This yet again shows you that all the vaccine mandates in the world, whether it came from the governor, from the mayor, from the county level executive, doesn't matter. They're failures. You told us that the vaccine mandate was to protect individuals from spreading COVID and needing to shut down. And yet, lo and behold, you got a bunch of people now who are getting COVID. And the people who maybe would have been protected because they previously had COVID and thus still maybe have natural immunity, you fired them. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense at all. And you've got some parents out there, again, we're going to go to our friend Gita, who say, Tacoma News, we're conflicted. We're conflicted in what to do here. You know what? Some of us are keeping our kids home. Yeah, the school's open, but we're keeping our little precious snowflake home because I refuse to listen to the science. And I am someone who is very much susceptible to 2 years of bad politics and bad guidance coming from all sorts of people.
It's really been hard. Oh. It's a big decision to make as a parent.
Okay, it's actually not that big of a decision to make. It's a simple decision. It's big to keep them home. It's hurtful to keep them home. And for the vast majority of the kids out there, whether we're talking about Washington State or anywhere else, they are better off in school. They are better off in school. And yet again, we're now starting to see the shift in the talking points. What have I been saying for the last several months, Producer Peyton, as it relates to COVID? We're all going to get it.
We're all going to get it.
Exactly. We are all going to get it. Omicron makes it almost inevitable. Weirdly, I'm not getting it. Knock on wood, I haven't gotten it yet, and I don't want it, but it's weird that I still haven't gotten it, and I suspect that I've already had it and I didn't know it. But now even Dr. Fauci is out there saying we're pretty much destined to get Omicron.
Omicron, with its extraordinary, unprecedented degree of efficiency of transmissibility,
yeah,
will ultimately find just about everybody. Unfortunately, those who are still unvaccinated are going to get the brunt of the severe aspect of this.
Maybe. Kind of depends on their age and their health. He doesn't want to throw that in there because, again, it's all vaccines in arms, regardless of whether or not our messaging is being open and honest, which weirdly, when people find out you're not being open and honest with the messaging, then push them away from listening to you, which includes listening to you get a vaccine. I believe people should get a vaccine in consultation with their doctor if they want it. I think there is plenty of reason to get vaccinated. I am vaccinated. And I do think that the data suggests that when you do get hit with Omicron with the vaccine and a booster, depending, it's almost certainly this vaccine is going to become a 3-series vaccine. The data suggests that you're going to get hit the least hard. If you don't want to listen to the data, if you don't trust it, okay, that's on you. I get it. But he doesn't add the part that your overall health going into Omicron is important. Huh. 1-800-465-8770 if you want to send me a text. 1-800-465-8770. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? Let's get political.
So Tiffany Smiley has been getting some pretty cool shout-outs recently, including by my from me this morning on Varney & Company. I talked about the bad polling of Senator Patty Murray, and Stewart said, I did not realize that the polling was so low. Thank you for telling me that.
Do you count as a cool shout-out?
Absolutely.
For Tiffany
Smiley, coolest.
Or is it the place that you did the shout-out is both. Cool for Tiffany Smiley?
Both.
I would say the place was much cooler than
I would
person.
Say you're an idiot. So, you know, we all have our positions. if you want to see... If you want to see, I was thinking a much worse word.
Oh, I'm well aware.
If you want to see that appearance on Fox Business from earlier this morning, you can check out any of our social media platforms or just text the keyword RANTS, R-A-N-T-Z, to 1-800-465-8770. Oh, just speaking of which, just because we're on this, I'll be on Fox News at Night tomorrow, Fox News Primetime on Friday, Bongino Unfiltered on Saturday, and Fox News Live on Sunday, and then also the Faulkner Focus on Monday.
Gee, golly, you go on television?
I have been on, I will have been on by Monday 8 days in a row because I'm so cool. And that's why Tiffany is all excited that I gave her a shout out. But in fairness, she also got a shout out from Senator Rick Scott, Republican from Florida. And he was asked by Dana Perino, and I love the way Dana Perino asked this question. She goes, am I crazy or is it possible that Vermont even might end up finding itself electing a whole bunch of Republicans?
You're not crazy. If you look at I believe we're going to be competitive all across this country. There's a poll out even in the state of Washington. Murray's only ahead by 3 points over a generic Republican, and we've got a great Republican there running, Tiffany Smiley.
So great that she is bringing in boatloads of money. Not the kind of dollars that you would expect from someone who people don't think has a shot. They might really like a candidate and say, hey, this candidate's amazing, but let's be honest. There's no way in the world Tiffany would beat Senator Patty Murray. That's not what people are saying. That's not what people are thinking. They're saying this is the right candidate. Finally, a candidate to take on Patty Murray. The mom in tennis shoes. Yeah, we got it. She almost raised $1 million. From October to December, the fourth quarter of last year, she raised $925,000. And now she's brought in a total of $2.6 million since she started her race. Now, Murray is not going to be easy to beat, and she's got a ton of money. A war chest that you would expect to come out of someone who is an incumbent. She's got like $6 million in her campaign coffers. But the thing is, last year, when you saw her polling, she had double-digit leads in multiple polls against the random Republican we're not going to name. It's just going to be, hey, a Republican challenger. Double-digit points. Double-digit leads. And now she finds herself only 3 points ahead of a random Republican candidate. What do you think is going to happen when people know who Tiffany Smiley is and then the polls say, okay, who are you going to vote for? Tiffany Smiley instead of just random Republican candidate? Or Patty Murray, the senator who's been in power since 1992, who hasn't really done all that much for Washington State? In fact, if I were to ask you, put you on the spot to name an accomplishment of Patty Murray's, what has she done for the state? Could you name a single thing? Could you even name one policy or issue that she's known for? Even just an issue, a theme. And the answer is no. I do this for a living. I couldn't tell you for Patty Murray. I could get close and give you a general, well, she pays attention to the budget, because I know she is involved in some of the budget negotiations. So I guess I give her a little bit of a lead over Maria Cantwell, who I quite literally would not be able to point out if I saw, you show me just three random pictures of women. One of them could be Maria Cantwell. The other two could be the mothers we just played from that Como piece. I wouldn't be able to tell you who Maria Cantwell is. She is invisible in the state. And I definitely don't know what issue she stands for. Patty Murray, budget, I guess. tennis shoes. She goes up against Nike because she doesn't like the sweatshops, maybe. Oh, no, she doesn't even care about it. Okay. Tiffany Smiley, I know where she stands on issues, and I know what she cares deeply about, which is why she is such a better fit for Washington State. So this is good news. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? The economy.
Inflation rose 7%. Almost at 70. It feels like it, though. It rose 7% year over year. This according to the Labor Department, that transitory inflation that first we were told wasn't happening before we were told, okay, well, I mean, it's kind of happening, but don't worry, it's transitory. And everyone was all like, did you change the definition of transitory? Because you changed the definition of other things, weirdly enough, with some letters from transitory. You've decided to change the language as it relates to gender, as it relates to peaceful protests. Is this one of those other terms that you decided to change the definition of? Maybe they have, and they just didn't tell anyone. Because more and more and more people who previously were buying into this nonsense that it's transitory, they're coming up and saying, okay, yeah, you're right. This is a big deal, and it's not going away. In fact, it's going to get worse. It's almost certainly going to get worse. That's what Domino CEO Richard Allison said on CNBC.
We certainly don't see inflation slowing down in our business. You know, we take a look at our food basket. You know, as you mentioned, you know, we see an 8 to 10% increase in the food basket 2022 relative to 2021. And we also see continued wage inflation across the marketplace as well as we look forward this year.
So we're expecting it, he's expecting it to go 8 to 10%. That means you're spending that much more on pizza from Domino's, which I wouldn't wish on my worst enemy. Well, maybe I would wish on my worst enemy.
I was going to say, you're not spending money on Domino's.
That's disgusting.
Do you even eat pizza?
No, definitely not Domino's, but in fairness, you did say, do you eat pizza?
Yeah, do you eat pizza like Zeke's or Pagliacci's?
No. You're always with the food.
I'm just curious. I've never seen you eat pizza.
About the fact that people are suffering right now. Because when you look, when you say 7% increase in inflation, we're talking about consumer goods that you're buying. Energy is up. Cars are up. Shelter is up. That means your apartment rent, food, household furnishings, healthcare, clothing, all of it is up. The one positive is gas prices went down slightly. Gas went down 0.4%. So I can't even round up and say it went down 1%. In fact, I think I have to round down because it didn't even hit the halfway point. So it's flat. And Senator Ron Johnson, the Republican from Wisconsin, said this is because of the policies coming from the Democrats.
This is the Democrats' tax on the middle class. This is how they inflate their way through deficit spending. And people need to understand that. This is very dangerous. I'm concerned we're in an inflationary cycle now. Even though people's wages have gone up,
barely,
their wage gains are being wiped out by this inflation. And this didn't just happen. This is caused by Democrat policies.
100% correct. They spend like mad, and then we end up paying the price for it. Literally pay the price for it. You remember when we were told by Jen Psaki, this is actually a positive. This is a good thing. It means there's an increase in demand. Yeah, okay. Yeah, we got it. 1-800-465-8770 if you want to send me a text. 1-800-465-8770. Welcome back to the Jason Rant Show. We're live on this Wednesday, and boy, did I just come across an interesting statement that was put out by the Kittitas County.
Good job. Way to work yourself through that one.
Agency, the government. They just put out a statement moments ago. So I think this counts as breaking news. And it gets to the heart of what we've been talking about as it relates to the vaccine mandate impact. We were told over and over and over again, and over again some more, and then just to make sure we understood a few more times, that firing employees who are not vaccinated or choose not to participate by giving private medical information to the government, this was done not just for the safety of staff and the public when these are positions that are public facing, but we did it in a way that will not impact at all services, agency responses, blah, 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 blah. Governor Inslee said that several times. Mayor Jenny Durkin said that several times. And we knew that it was a lie. On the city level, we said it. On the state level, we said it. So Kittitas County just put out a statement that said, on the dates of January 5th and 6th, 2022, Kittitas County received significant snowfall. The snow event resulted in the closure of Interstate 90 and Highway 97 for 3 days, causing freight deliveries to be delayed, travel across the state of Washington impossible, and access to services significantly impacted. On October 18, 2021, Washington State excused all unvaccinated employees from their employment with the state. This resulted in 48 state employees no longer working to support the state maintenance and snow removal efforts in Kittitas County. On November 30, 2021, Kittitas County signed an interlocal agreement with the Washington State Department of Transportation. WSDOT requested this agreement based on an identified need for adding additional resources caused by reduced staffing. Do you see where this is going? Any ideas? Do you think... Did I foreshadow enough?
I think a little bit. Maybe just enough.
Due to significant snowfall, Kittitas County Department of Public Works offered assistance on January 11th to clear state roadways. Washington State informed Kittitas County they could not accept this assistance due to Kittitas County not mandating the COVID-19 vaccination for county employees. The Kittitas County Board of Commissioners is extremely disappointed with the state's position to refuse assistance. What happened as a result of refusing assistance? Do you remember anything about the roads not being cleared and being sick? Do you remember that? It's kind of like...
Yeah, like the roads weren't clear and stuff.
It's almost like they could have used actual help.
Yeah.
Just throwing that out there.
Could have gone a little faster.
But they didn't. Yeah, no. Weird how all of these things work out. And kudos to the commissioners for calling this out. Seriously, good for them. One of the commissioners, Laura Oziaks, she said, during these times, we need to be able to put differences aside and work to support one another. Needs to be neighbors helping neighbors and lending a hand to get work done. Corey Wright, another commissioner, said, this county is ready, as always, to put all hands on deck to solve the problem. It's time for logic and leadership to overcome ideology and allow skilled equipment operators working alone in their cabs to get this job done. And then Brett Walksmith, another commissioner, said, I'm extremely proud of the work being done by our Public Works Department to be able to clear roads and be in a place to be able to lend a helping hand to the state. It's unfortunate given the circumstances an agreement could not have come to fruition because we all want what's best for our community. At this time, an agreement has not been reached. It's funny because WSDOT ended up having to rehire some of those people that they fired. And while I'm not yet ready to break a story, you'll hear it on the show tomorrow. You'll read it tonight if you go to KTTH.com, waiting for one more thing before we go live. Out of fairness, there are staffing issues so significant, so extreme, that not only are some hiring back some folks who were fired, but they're forcing people who aren't just COVID positive to work, but COVID positive with symptoms to continue to work. And one of the places is the spot you would least think would have staff members showing up to work while actively, not just COVID positive, but symptomatic. That story impacts most of Washington State. And we'll bring it to you over at KTTH.com. later on this evening. Make sure you follow me on Twitter if you want to get the link to it once it goes up. Or do what I do or would do if I was waiting for my own work, which would be go to the website and just hit refresh until the story popped up. Because that's how great I am.
Yeah, please. I encourage everybody right now to go to that web browser and just smash the refresh button.
Yeah, just
nothing
nonstop
better to do
until it pops
up. While you're
up.
Listening on your smart speaker at home. I mean, it's called multitasking.
Yeah, you can do it while listening to Ben and Michael Knowles, because I'm not going to post it until at least 6, because I haven't finished it and we
so
get off
the
air.
You just told people that they don't need to smash the refresh button.
At six, okay, I'm saying. Starting at six, it's not going to be up at six. It's probably going to be up at 6:30 if I'm being honest, because they got to edit it. I haven't even finished it, and I'm waiting for some. If I'm being honest, I haven't even written half of it yet. But it'll be done. I work fast.
Thank you.
Well, other reporters are just slow and stupid.
Well, we're all waiting till 6:30 now for you to put out this report that you already know so much about.
I just gave you a hint as to what it's about. Hospitals. It's insane, actually. What's more insane is this idea that we are testing people who aren't showing symptoms. And we're pretending that that's somehow a strategy that's going to keep schools open in a meaningful way. But it's not. In fact, quite the opposite. The more you test, the more quarantines will have to be used. It was a point that Rand Paul made. And it's a really smart point. It's nuance. There's nuance to it. But it's a really smart point. And people aren't thinking about it logically. Schools, for example, won't stay open unless you do a whole bunch of tests. The White House just today said that they are putting 5 million rapid tests and 5 million lab-based PCR tests out there into the stream of testing going to these schools starting this month at some point. Now, of course, 5 million of either, when you're supposed to be testing daily or every other day, not going to go far. Not going to last long. So it's useless. It's meaningless. But they're doing that because we're supposed to keep schools open if we can constantly test these kids, even when they don't need it, because they're not showing any symptoms. And so Rand Paul today, the senator from Kentucky, was on with Fox News, and he made that point. And of course, he brought it around to Dr. Fauci, who's leading the charge of the strategy. He says it doesn't make any sense.
You know, most of the discussion was about testing and the shortage of tests, but very few people were bringing up that this has to do, really, once again, with Dr. Fauci and lack of strategy. His strategy or his exhortation is everybody should be tested. So if your five-year-old tests positive, then everybody in the class should test, and then their brothers and sisters should test, then their parents should test. Guess what? Before you know it, we've got a lockdown because of overtesting. We are doing way too many tests. Never in the history of medicine have we been for testing people who are not sick. Let's test people who are sick, people who have symptoms, people who are worried about being around the elderly who have symptoms. Yes, let's do appropriate testing. Let's don't test everyone. We're doing way too many tests, and all the randomized testing in school is inappropriate.
So kids who are the least impacted by COVID, least impacted, who are already going through mitigation efforts, masks are being worn, they are staying 6 feet away from each other. Just because one kid ends up being COVID positive, and the reason prior to all this testing that they found out was because they're symptomatic and could actively spread COVID without realizing it, or sometimes realizing it, depending on how symptomatic they are. Is this just the sniffles or is it COVID? You now have to test everyone in that class. Now, someone in that class could be asymptomatic, completely asymptomatic, not spreading the disease at all, spreading the virus at all. But because that kid just got tested, well, bam, that kid now has to stay home. Oh, and that kid's best friend who had 15 minutes or more FaceTime with him or her also then has to be quarantined. And then, by the way, the parent of the kid has to stay home. Not just in quarantine because of work policies, most likely, but because they don't have daycare for them. There's some daycare centers that are closed for this month. It is remarkable. And you can see how Fauci and the Biden administration starting to shift some narratives around.
Well, and I think the government narrative's changing, Fauci and others, because now more people have died under Biden's administration than died under Trump's. It was never fair to blame it on one politician. But the thing is more people have now died. So you see a new rhetoric coming out of government. Well, 75% of the deaths have four comorbidities. They're very sick people. Well, many of us have been saying this from the very beginning, that there's an overcount of deaths, that there are people who come in an automobile accident, and then they also happen to have COVID. COVID. It's the same with the children in the hospital. Almost the vast majority of the children in the hospital that have COVID were admitted for other reasons, and then they were tested and found to have COVID. And since a lot of the children have no symptoms, the question is, what does that actually mean? But this is a real problem, but the government is finally shifting its rhetoric, even on the mask. You know, Fauci's been all in on cloth masks. Even his allies at CNN are saying cloth masks are merely facial decoration and don't work. Well, so we're coming to somewhere because they've shown that they've lost control completely of this thing. It's a contagion throughout the community, but the good news is it's much less deadly than the previous variant.
He's right. I know some people don't want to listen to him because he's a Republican. Of course, that means he's lying, but he's right. 1-800-465-8770 if you want to send me a text. 1-800-465-8770. If you text the keyword RANTZ, R-A-N-T-Z, to 1-800-465-8770, I'll send you a link to our podcast, to our social media accounts. I'm about to post right now on Twitter the statement coming from Kittitas County. I hope you'll give it a read in full, but also retweet it. Let's get it out there. Let's call out the governor for being so petty and illogical, which honestly, I could have said before I even heard about the story because he's petty and illogical, but this really, really drives that point home. Welcome back to the Jason Rantz Show. We have a new segment that I'm coming up with in this moment, and I'll ask Peyton to write this down. At the end of the year, we're going to give out awards to the biggest dum-dums. And it'll be sort of a work in progress, a bit in progress, because we'll come up with the categories based on the trends that we see coming from the dum-dum community. They've even got an app for dating. That's how many there are. And we'll create one called the Dum-Dum Musical Award. And, you know, we'll finesse the language a little bit. But this is a category in which we take dum-dums who decide to sing a song that they wrote. Maybe they're doing a cover for either political purposes, if we have enough. And usually there are. I mean, you can already put the grandma, the singing grannies from Seattle on there. Or if they're doing it just because they want to show their talent in which they don't realize they lack. In this case, we have a dum-dum out of Dallas. He got in front of the Dallas City Council and he decided to perform a rap during the public comment section promoting the vaccine. Now, he was in scrubs, indicating he's either a nurse or a doctor, which indicates I hope you get care from some other hospital in some other city so you don't actually come in contact with this guy. He covered himself in hand sanitizer beforehand. And
what do you mean covered himself?
He just poured it on himself, apparently. That's what I saw on Twitter.
To the tune of Def Leppard, pour some sugar on me, but it was just a bunch of hand sanitizer?
It wasn't captured.
Oh. Well, that's a bummer.
Unfortunately, I'm sure it'll pop up. So I don't know if he is being serious or if he's being a parody, which is a damning indictment on the people who do this seriously. And there are a lot of them who have this view of not just vaccines, but like Fauci and whatnot. It's so over the top. You wonder to yourself, this isn't real, right? This can't be. Is it? Honey, is this real? It is. Oh, my God. Let's move. I don't know where, because everyone's crazy everywhere.
It's like that 13-year-old who sang that ode to Fauci last holiday season. You remember that one?
That would have been the winner.
Dr. Fauci.
Oh, my God.
Just give me your dreams.
Yeah, that wasn't a kid. It was like a 43-year-old. So here it is.
Vaccinate. You're going to get corona from Mona. Don't vaccinate. Don't wait. Don't hesitate. You got to vaccinate in the Lone Star State. Vaccination is so great. Vaccinate me all day long. Vaccinate your daddy and mom. Vaccinate my body. Vaccinate me at the party. A vaccine dream.
Is he being serious or not?
I'm afraid I think he is.
Right? I don't know the answer.
There's too much effort to think that this is just parody.
I love the vaccine all day long. I want to vaccinate your mom. I want to stick it deep in your arm.
Oh. Okay, I'm glad he clarified.
Mom, where are you? I want to vaccinate you. But you can't hear my song. Vaccinate me in my thong. Vaccination, right?
Is he in the thong?
Maybe under the scrubs there's a thong somewhere down there, but... Or maybe thong is like metaphor for mask. Like, no, that we're just going to start calling them face
thongs? I'm going to go with they're talking about an actual thong. And he's in one right now, and now I can't get it out of my head.
I'm wrong. Dr. Fauci, give me that ouchie. I want it in my body. Vaccinate me to go to the party. Omar is back. Vaccinate me, white or black.
Literally, we'd throw in some DEI stuff. Diversity, equity, and inclusion. I'm down with that. Ibram Kendi approves. Dr. Robin Angelo approves.
Vaccinate you. Vaccinate who? Vaccinate you all day long. Vaccinate your dad and mom.
How much longer
vaccinate
is this?
Vaccinate me,
oh
and my thong. Vaccinate
oh, you said
the thong. Mayor. I am a vaccination player. What can I say? I'm the real Ron.
Oh, wait a minute. He just added a letter to a word to make it rhyme. That is lazy songwriting. That is lazy. I'm not crazy. I believe what he just did is not amazing. It's lazy. That was good. You write that down.
I'm not writing that down.
You put that, you highlight that on the podcast.
Yeah, prime tap, 9 and 9, on the ground all the time. I blow your mind. I spit the rhyme. I commit the crime. I'm always on time because I'm 9 and 9. I wish that, and I die in the shack, and I blow your mind. One more time. Vaccinate your mind. Vaccinate your body. Vaccinate your life if you're vaccination party. I love y'all. Peace. God bless. Follow my Instagram. IG.
Your time is up.
Primetime Stein.
Thank you.
Okay, hold on. I'm adding him on Instagram.
You're going to find it?
What did it say? Primetime Stein?
That's what I thought it was.
Oh, is he a member of my tribe? I'm not taking ownership.
No?
I'm not taking ownership. He's got 20,000. That pisses me off. He's got 20,000 followers.
Oh, wow. He's somebody?
I mean, is 20,000 somebody? I have got 80-something thousand on Twitter.
Ooh, wow, Jason. You're so cool.
I can't tell if he's serious. Yeah, I don't know.
I think he's serious. Well, with 20,000 followers, that does
that has to be, that must
clicks.
Be, that has to indicate he's joking.
It was kind of embarrassing they ran out of breath at the end.
He was out of breath the entire time. He was barely moving from the microphone.
What does that tell you about him? I mean, he's like a minute 30 in and he's already out of breath.
At least he's not an actual doctor or nurse.
He just dresses up as one?
Just for that. Never mind. Throwing it away. Follow me on Instagram. What are you looking for? Primetime Stein. Go to Jason Rants on Instagram. 1-800-465-8770. Send me a text.